you know, bird to work. And I looking on the internet, and the best thing I could come up with is this egg beater. And then somebody came up with the Egg Beater 2, which is a newer version of the original egg beater that I believe M2 or somebody mass produces. And he says he's extremely satisfied with the results from it. I was wondering if anybody has any first-hand experiences with an Omni for satellite.
Barry uses quite a few of the satellites. In the past, Barry, N2MB, I know that the downlink was always a little on the weak side. You needed some antenna gain. Is M51 strong enough that a good Omni can do it? N2MB, KGYW, the SecNet?
Yeah, I was just getting ready to put my two cents in. These are the problems. First of all, AO51 is low Earth orbit and fast moving. Yes, it's a strong signal, and if you have a fairly omnidirectional antenna, you'll hear it most of the time, but it will go down into null. Better to have a tracking antenna, but if you don't want it, you probably get away with it 80% of the time. Having something like an egg beater or something that just doesn't have much of a pattern. Okay, but the problem is getting back up into the satellite. I think the real answer to that is if you're going to have a low-gain antenna, i.e. an antenna which doesn't have much of a pattern, you've got to make up the difference somehow. And that means you got to bring that ERP up by cranking up your power. So I would say be prepared to run a few hundred watts. That'll solve the problem on the uplink. And the downlink, you'll get about 80% okay with one of, you know, a cross dipole or any one of these not-so-directional antennas, N2MB.
Okay, basically, basically what I'm using right now is a fairly high-gain vertical that I'm on right now, Diamond. And I could hear the bird. I could hear the bird when it's all the way across the country, and I'm just getting 10 degrees elevation, and I could hear it fine, just that I can't get to it. On the weekends and stuff, you got a lot of people trying to work it. But when it comes right at the right pass, meaning just missing Coney Island where I am, it's either going just a little to my east or a little to my west, I get a really clear signal, and I can be heard. But I just wanted that window to be a little longer in time, the window that I could actually work the bird. Do you think an Omni would work? And do you think I should only use it for receive and not also for transmit because it does have a circular pattern? And do you think a circular pattern would be beneficial over vertical or horizontal on transmission?
Let me ask you a quick question, Guy. When you do get a dropout to the bird, do you believe you'll be getting a dropout on the uplink or the downlink? And how many watts transmit power are you running?
I'm only running 50 watts. I could hear the bird, okay? I could hear the bird with no problem. I could hear the repeater. It fades in, fades out, fades in, fades out. Now, I'm thinking that's because of the radiation pattern of my antenna. Am I correct in assuming this? Basically, I'm new to this piece of the hobby, and I'm trying to get into it a little better. I really didn't want to go for a tracking antenna. I would rather put some kind of Omni up there.
Let's see what Barry's going to say, and how circular polarized is the antennas for reception and transmission on 51. Back to you, Barry.
Okay, well, 51 tumbles. It's not sitting there looking at the ground nice and steady. Not like these really high Earth, you know, these high orbit satellites where they control that stuff. So it's kind of helter-skelter the way it's coming down. So I don't think circular is going to help you at all. think you're better off with non-circular polarization because you haven't a clue which way this thing is going to be looking at you. And I think a lot of that fading that you're hearing is due to, in part, the tumbling of the satellite, and the other part, because it's going in and out of the lobes of your antenna. It's probably going over your head, and your vertical is ain't looking up at the sky too good. It's more looking, you know, at the horizon, and maybe 30 degrees up or something like that. But when you get up to 50 and 80 degrees above your head, you're in the nose of your antenna. My real opinion, I mean, I've done this for years. I think you got to bite the bullet and track the thing, and you're going to do a hell of a lot better. It's a big step, but you want to see, you know, good reception and good transmission from lock to lock on that thing. Really should be tracking it. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I agree with you. From everything I read, that's definitely the way to go. I get pretty good reception on it from about, oh, I would say just over the horizon, probably about 12 to 15 degrees. I get it up to about 48, and then when it's starting to go over my head, I lose it. And I notice because of the radiation pattern of the antenna. I was just thinking if there's anything better out there that I should be looking into before I go to that next step of tracking antenna, which I'm kind of shying away from at the moment. And raising my antenna, if I put up a mini tower on my roof, raise my antenna another, to say for argument's sake, another 15 feet than what it is, right now it's at about 35 feet. Would that have any difference?
I've got some opinions on this one. You're trying to get perfect coverage across the whole upper hemisphere with one single antenna. I think you should be using multiple antennas. I think your high-gain vertical is doing pretty nice coverage to the horizon. You'll get a little bit lower coverage to the horizon if you raise it. But when the satellite comes overhead, you should flip over to antenna number two, which has a stronger lobe straight up. I bet you've done things like that, Barry. And 2MB, go ahead.
Yes, I have, and it does work. It's a good idea. But in the end, I found that, you know, it was just easier to track it. I mean, once you start with the antenna switching and more antennas and more feed lines, you might as well put the investment into something that tracks. That's the way I felt about it years ago. I still agree with that, really.
With tracking, you've got some nice high gain. What is it, a six-element Yagi that does the tracking? And my guess is you, with the tracking antenna, you always hear a hell of a lot more signal-to-noise ratio in the downlink. Therefore, some of the weaker guys that are going through the repeater, you hear them a lot better with the tracking antenna. Therefore, there's other people to work that you would never even know are there. Is that approximately true, Barry?
Yes, it is, but keep in mind, even if he tracks the thing, he's still going to get some dropout as it goes by, because these lower satellites, they're tumbling, so, you know, no matter what you do, you're going to see some loss here and there, but the improvement is going to be dramatic.
So in other words, I think you're saying the depth of the null becomes, to your antenna, a hell of a lot less of a detriment if you've got a higher gain antenna. With the tracking antenna, Barry, are you able to hear the basic noise of the IF strip of the satellite?
I've always been able to hear that, but I've always had giant antennas, yes. I mean, even on Oscar 40, on Oscar 10, any of those satellites, I was able to hear the receiver noise of the satellite easily. I could get, in fact, on Oscar 13, I think that was the one that I got the most receiver noise. I could see receiver noises 20 over 9, just receiver noise on those satellites. You can hear it whooshing away. Absolutely amazing. And it was better as you went up in frequency. When you went up to the 2401 transmitters, you know, reception, it was even better.
What were you using for your antennas on VHF, UHF, and SHF?
Well, of course, 2 meters, you use a beam, some kind of a beam. By the time I got to 432, I was using a beam, and then, as you know, I switched over to a, I started with an 8-foot parabolic dish, and then went to a 10-foot dish, and it was great. I mean, the dishes were, you had to track real close. I mean, bigger the antenna, the closer the tracking, and I had that down to a pretty tight tracking angle, I'm sure you know. But, of course, the advantage of a dish is one dish is good on 3 frequencies at one time, not a problem. And, of course, the higher frequency you go, the more the gain you get. So it's just a one-way deal, and that's what I would recommend to anybody.
Rich, you wanted to add something to this?
I think what Bradley is saying is true. But he's just getting started. What I'm wondering, two things. First off, he's using a high-gain vertical, so he's losing the overhead. He's got a pancake pattern horizon. My other question to him is, what kind of machine does he have, and what does he have on the ship on the receiver? Maybe a good egg beater on the downlink with a good gas separation, like an ARR, to the trick to check it.
I've done that. I didn't use an egg beater per se, but I've done that, what you're saying. And the problem that I get from experience is, these antennas don't have quite enough gain. So what's happening is when the satellite is tumbling, it's fading in and out, and no matter what you do, I mean, you got this thing looking right at it, it's not in your null, you just don't have enough gain. So you're going to see this thing fading in and out. That is a little frustrating, I'm telling you.
Eric, KE2EJ, go ahead with your comment. Wait for the beep.
Hi, Dick. Well, I've had my trackable satellite antennas on top of this high for, I guess, about 15 years now. And I've got one on 2 meters at 22 elements. It's circularly polarized. You make it circularly polarized. It's not circularly polarized to the right. Same thing for 432, and I had a couple of 24-1 antennas that I've tried at various different times. So, you know, they're a little harder to deal with, but... One of the things that I got to say for the guys is that the magnet crossers on the satellite try to keep the thing facing towards the Earth. Doesn't do it all the time, but most of the time they do really kind of keep the antennas pointed towards the Earth. A lot of the flutter, the tumbling that they get, it's around 3 hertz, 5 hertz, depending upon the particular satellite in orbit that it's in. It's not that often that the bird's antennas will point out its face, but that happens. But your circularly polarized antennas cut down on a lot of that stuff. Back to you, Dick.
Okay, Guy, you might have some further questions for these guys. Go ahead, Guy.
What kind of wattage should I be looking at minimum for uplink?
Barry?
Okay, what frequency?
146 FM mode.
146 FM mode. With the antennas you have, 45 watts, 50 watts should do it well.
Guy, what kind of receiver do you think? Do you have a preamp?
Negative. I don't have a preamp. And that was another thing I was looking into. Getting an antenna mounted preamp on the egg beater on the 447. Hopefully what I'm trying to do is cut out some of that noise, that background noise, and strengthen up some of the signals that are in there.
Yeah, the preamp can do.
Do you think you'll agree with me? Most of these rigs are stone on the scene. Something like an advanced receiver research preamp would probably do them all the good. Between that and an egg beater, we might just make it.
Yeah, the preamp will make a huge improvement because most 2-meter rigs and 440 rigs start off with about a 12 decibel barefoot noise figure. And the preamp can bring that down to 1 nibby. That's all